Good morning. It is Thursday, and that means it is Perspectives time on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for being at the other end of the radio waves, the telephone lines, the Twitter machine, the email device, and all the multitudes of ways that we have to communicate with each other nowadays. But old-fashioned telephone, that's easy. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809. If long distance, you can send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org, or tweet us at WFSU Perspective. At the outset, we were talking a little bit about the preponderance of cases related to dementia, of which between, 60 and 80% of those cases related to Alzheimer's disease. But there are some other afflictions, too, that fall under that general heading. And with all of us tending to get older, this is an affliction that tends to impact people of a certain older demographic. So we are seeing more of it. And in fact, you have most families now that know at least someone in their connection that is a patient of Alzheimer's or other form of dementia. So we're going to talk not just about that on this morning's Perspectives, but also the increasing number of resources that are available on the local and the state level to deal with this, not only from a patient viewpoint, but also from a caregiver standpoint. And we want you to meet the panel that has been assembled to talk about this morning as we go around here, starting my right, your left on the radio, Richard Prudham, Deputy Secretary of the Florida Department of Elder Affairs. Richard, it is so good to see you, sir.
Thank you, Tom, for being here.
And right next door to you is Debbie Maroney from the Alzheimer's Project. Hey, Debbie.
Hey, it's great to be here.
We have an Alzheimer's caregiver with us, Dr. Regina Sofer, and can't wait to hear your story, ma'am.
I am ready to tell it. Thank you.
And back to these microphones for a return performance. How many times, Gil Zephyr, have you been on these radio waves here?
You know, just a handful, Tom, but it's a pleasure to be here again with you.
It is always a joy to be with you too, sir. And let's just start with you, Gil, if we could, from the outset here. Your involvement in the entire Alzheimer's situation, not just as a Tallahassee City Commissioner, but also a lot of personal involvement there too.
Growing up, different family members suffered from different forms of dementia. But a couple years ago, I was introduced to somebody who now I refer to as my brother, and that's Sandy Halperin, who many of you know. And he was featured on CNN with, I think it was, seven different programs that Dr. Sanjay Gupta came down and did with Sandy. And it's been quite an experience to have him as a good friend, as a brother, because I've learned a lot about what it must be like to move through the process of having early onset dementia. It's interesting. I was having the conversation, I think, with Debbie the other day about he has taught me to be a better listener. Because some folks with different types of dementia and Alzheimer's, you have to listen to every single word they say because you never know when the thought's going to be lost. The other part of that is you've learned not to interrupt because you don't want to stop their train of thought. So Sandy has taught me many things, and it has driven me to try to do more. I'm working with the Department of Elder Affairs, working with Debbie at the Alzheimer's Project, and whatever we can do. We have a tremendous, the term that's been used with me is a tsunami coming our way. One in five over the age of 65 by 2020 will have some form of dementia or Alzheimer's in the state of Florida. That's a huge number. And for us, and is my role in the League of Cities, is cities need to be prepared with, you know, how do our mass transit handle folks that have dementia, our parks and recreation departments, our utilities, if, you know, we get the call and clearly somebody has some confusion. So there are a lot of things that we're trying to do here, thanks to Richard's help, and hopefully we'll be able to roll them out to other parts of the state.
Well, let's take that statewide perspective, if we could, there, Richard, looking at the state of Florida, of course, being a retirement mecca, and even here in the capital region, which ping-ponging back and forth between us and Gainesville have traditionally been the youngest places in the state, but we are aging as well, and this tends to be a condition that impacts older people.
I think that's true to say largely, but with regards to Dr. Halprin, I mean, he actually had early onset Alzheimer's at the age of mid-50s. So I think it's something that affects not us older people, but also people who are in their early 50s. And as those of us who are baby boomers approaching the 50s or leaving the 50s, it's something that we have to be aware of. But it's the numbers that really drove us in this direction. There's over 510,000 people currently with Alzheimer's in Florida. And that's the second highest prevalence rate in the nation, second only to California. And in the next 10 years, as Gil said, we're going to increase probably to over 720,000. And that doesn't include the other forms of dementia, which includes vascular dementia and also Lewy bodies. So, you know, that's another few hundred thousand. And obviously, that doesn't include, obviously, the hundreds of thousands of service caregivers like Dr. Sofer. And that's, you know, so obviously it's not just the individual who suffers, it's the families that suffer and the whole family structures and, you know, and the dynamics must be adjusted to accommodate someone with dementia. And, you know, this whole thing came about, the Dementia Care and Cure Initiative is a statewide effort and it's for communities to become more dementia caring. Taking action to support those diagnosed with dementia, their families and their caregivers, and bettering the communities and the state overall. You know, and it doesn't imply that nothing has been done to combat dementia, and the state and communities have responded. This year, we have about $20 million that is funded, you know, for various issues, including caregiver respite, the memory disorder clinics, of which we have 15 throughout the state, adult daycare centers, which are invaluable to actually providing respite to caregivers and other providers. And indeed, the Governor Scott has recommended another additional $3 million to add to that $20 million this year. But, you know, in talking with people with dementia, and, you know, Dr. Sandy Halprin was one of those people, along with Pat Hogan and Everett as well, who came to see us and said, look, support, care, and understanding the community has often fallen short of the needs and aspirations of those people with dementia. And so more could and should be done. So it's not just a matter of funding. It's a matter of actually educating, making people aware, and so on and so forth.
Dr. Regina Sofer, as a caregiver, tell us your story. What is your situation there?
Well, one of the things that I really am happy to be here in this group is because there is a story to tell, and it's representative of a number of caregivers in this area as well as across the state. When my journey began a number of years ago, probably about 15 years ago, there weren't the type of resources that we're talking about today. The numbers were bubbling up, but there weren't always the visible resources. It ended up being more of word of mouth, and that's how I found about the Alzheimer's Project with Debbie Maroney as the CEO of. But in that process, you had to sort of hunt and peck around the city, around the state, online to find out what would happen for your loved one. And that was an incredible journey that has ended up with being involved now in the Dementia Care and Cure Initiative. We're working with the commissioner over here as well as Debbie. But my mom started having some signs a number of years ago, and we didn't know what to do with that. And besides stopping out from work and trying to be gracious and trying to be helpful, what were the other resources that we could depend on to help me and others in that journey? For example, he mentioned about going out and about. And that was one of the things that they were able to do with Sandra Gupta, with Sandy Halprin. But a number of years ago, if you were going to a restaurant, they were not necessarily prepared for someone who had behavioral issues that would be maybe fascinated with those napkins over there. What are they going to do? If they're pulling out numbers of napkins just because they're there, you don't want them to be disruptive, but on the other hand, you don't want them isolated. So there's a need to be able to integrate our loved ones into the community. The same with grocery stores and going to shopping, going to various venues that keep your loved one as active and as engaged as possible for as long as possible was really the challenge, one of the challenges that I experienced.
And one of the other things that you just brought up, Dr. Sofer, that is so important is that providing those kinds of experiences to someone with dementia can be very rewarding, but it can also be incredibly exhausting. And so how do we take care of people like yourself who have someone in their family with dementia? And that's you mentioned over here to Debbie Maroney with the Alzheimer's Project. That's where that came from, right, Debbie?
Yes, we are here to support the caregiver and the person living with dementia. And we do that through a variety of ways. And one of the ways is through support groups. We have caregiver support groups across the Big Bend area. We're not 9 different counties. We also provide education courses, how to take care of yourselves, a course called Powerful Tools for Caregivers that really brings caregivers together in an opportunity to learn more about how to take care of themselves, because we know that as you take care of somebody else, your health also may decline. And you also want to be able to get your needs met and be able to communicate with others about what those needs are. We also do respite, so that we're in five different churches in this community, a different day every day of the week, to provide an opportunity for the person living with dementia to come out, to break down that social isolation, and to have an opportunity to be engaged and do activities and have music therapy. We also offer an annual education conference with the partnership with the College of Medicine, so that people in our community can continue to learn about the disease. Also, what are other resources out there? How can they connect with and network together? And we offer a program called Project Lifesaver, where we have a bracelet for wanderers or people who have a tendency to get out of the house when no one's looking. And that way that we could connect with the sheriff's department and they can locate those individuals very quickly.
That is a major aspect of the entire package, that there are so many resources that are available that folks involved with this on a day-to-day basis may not be aware of. And not only is dementia isolating for the patient, but it can also be very isolating for the caregiver, because, let's face it, the default is, oh my God, no one knows what I'm going through.
You're absolutely right on that. You can feel holed up in your home or in your community and not know how to throw up the flare that says that I need assistance. And the Alzheimer's Project was absolutely the lifeline that I needed. It was not only the Lifesaver program that Debbie talked about, but it was the respite. Having the opportunity to take a loved one somewhere where they were going to be safe, they were not going to be judged, and I would have several hours to do just some of the routine things that no one else really regards as being special. But I remember on the first day that I left my mom with them, I actually went outside and cheered, because it just felt so good to have that type of relief after being clustered away for a number of months without having a good, safe place to leave her. The other thing, and I don't think Debbie mentioned it, is that thankfully their resources were without cost to the caregiver. The ability to take someone there, to have number of people to track with them, to talk with them, to keep them from wandering, to feed them, the music therapy. It was just a glorious way of making sure that she was safe, but also giving me an opportunity to do some things away from her that usually and typically benefited her.
We're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia, and what is your story? Why not share that with us at 414-1234 on Perspectives this morning on WFSU-FM. If long distance, 800-926-8809, or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives, talking about dementia, Alzheimer's, caregivers, patients, and we want to hear from you, too, at 414-1234. Our local number, zip us that email here at perspectives@wfsu.org. We are produced, of course, by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee, and we also have a website where you can catch up on any Perspectives program that otherwise you might miss. Just go to wfsu.org, click on radio, pull down programs, click Perspectives, and boom, up they pop, and you can wander through our archive for days on end if you want and relive past programs, including this one. We try to have it up within a couple, 3 hours after the program actually airs. Gil Ziffer, I remember that media event that was down at the press center that you were a part of.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the response to Alzheimer's and the fact that you actively sought out an individual, your old pal Sandy Halperin, where you spend time with him on a regular basis. And that is almost counterintuitive. Most people try to avoid those situations, because what do I say? What if I do something wrong? What if they freak out? What if they don't understand me? What if I don't understand them? All those questions people tend to avoid. You jumped into it. So what advice do you have for folks to try to get a better connection with members, perhaps, of their family or friends who are suffering from dementia?
You know, Tom, I think, and Dr. Sofer, you can probably respond better than I, but I think the what I hear the natural tendency is when you're diagnosed with either some form of dementia or Alzheimer's, is to start the retreat process. First out of general public and then out of real activities and then just, you know, almost seclusion. And that's the worst thing that can happen. But the problem is that most people, you know, Debbie and I have talked about this, when you consider the number of people that, and I'm not minimizing it, but the number of people that have breast cancer, it's a huge number, but the people that have dementia or Alzheimer's, significantly more. And it's just not something we talk about much, but virtually every family is touched by it. And so what we need to do is, and which we're trying to do, is do a better job of educating folks about keep their family members engaged as much as they can. One of Richard's staff that reached out and there's a conversation with Red Eye Coffee, for example. They're going to have job training on a Sunday. They're going to teach all their employees to look for the warning signs so that people with dementia or Alzheimer's as a family member can take them there and they can feel comfortable. And we need to be doing more of that. So for me, it was an opportunity to do the right thing to try to keep Sandy engaged. But also, you know, someday that may be me. And I'm hopeful that at some point somebody will reach out and hopefully do the same thing for me. We need to do that more. We're Tallahassee's a good community. And I think the more we can educate, the better job we can. And at this moment, I'm just going to shout it out because something we're working towards. One of the things Debbie has to deal with is funding. And I want to thank Senator Bill Montford because he has been very good every year with the legislature, and they've responded by helping her with funding because, as what Dr. Sofer said, is a lot of things Debbie offers, it's no charge. It's free. But somebody's got to pay for that. And the numbers are growing. So please get engaged. And if you know somebody with dementia or Alzheimer's, try to get them out of the house. Try to get them to a place. But you have to be aware when they order breakfast and they have a problem ordering an omelet, it's not because they're being difficult. They just can't put together all the different items. So you have to learn how to kind of help them. This is great. This is for me, I look forward to it every 2 weeks when we go have breakfast. Yeah.
And Tom, if I can say as well, you know, every organization has objectives and goals that drive them day to day. And obviously, Elder Affairs were no exception. But the governor has charged us with three specific goals that are important to him. And expanding the Dementia Care and Cure Initiative across Florida is one of those goals. So obviously, you know, he's a results-oriented individual, and he's tasked us with a aggressive implementation plan. So we're looking to expand this to other communities as well. And one thing I wanted to mention as well is that obviously when we first announced this effort, we had a lot of pushback from communities say, we're already doing this. We've been doing this for 30 years. How dare you come up with something, you know, and reinvent the wheel? And we said, in actual fact, we're not reinventing the wheel. All we're going to be doing is actually identifying existing resources and actually, you know, putting them in touch with each other. So people making aware, communities aware of what is available in their community. Each community is different. And the idea of this initiative is to, you know, have the community participate in identifying the needs and aspirations that are specific to that community. And that's what the beauty of what we're doing in Tallahassee is we're doing exactly that. And the ultimate goal is, you know, every interaction that that individual with dementia has with someone in the community, it has to be a positive one as much as possible, whether it's going to the movies, going to the restaurant, or whatever. And I think that's what we're focused on, and we're going to be ultimately successful.
And if I can just piggyback for a second, one of the reasons they selected Tallahassee and Leon County is because we have one city government, one county government. And between the two of us, we can touch just about every citizen there is. And I'll give you an example is what happens because the first responders, fire and police have gone through training and others. But what happens when EMTs arrive at a home and there are two people and one has dementia and Alzheimer's and the one that has the medical issue is the caregiver. And so our first responders now are trained that they can't leave that person alone. And also, what do they do? And what are the processes they go through to make sure that that person is taken care of? Because if we don't know that, then we put people in danger. And so we're trying to do all those things. And as I said, between our two governments, we can reach a lot of different people between the first responders, my Parks and Recreation Department, our utility department, just about everybody. We're going through a process of training them so that they can look for the signs.
Terrific. Let's add Cindy to the conversation. She's calling in here on line one. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for calling.
My husband passed away of Alzheimer's in May, or complications from what was probably Alzheimer's, and he became noticeably having symptoms when he was 60 years old. I've been to Alzheimer's Project. I've tried the respite. I tried everything. It's fine if you're a little lady who cooperates with everything in a wheelchair. When you go to respite, they have a couple of people that are hired. The others are volunteered, and they can help people that are cooperating. When you have people that you take your husband and he cries and says he'd rather you just killed him than to leave him there, what do we do with these people? And this is not an unusual problem. I could give you names of 10 other women that are in the same situation with their husbands. When you take them to the adult daycare, and again, they're crying and saying, please, please, I'm not going to stay. They develop behavioral issues. When you finally have to put them in care, everybody needs to know that the assisted living and memory care facilities kick the people out when they become to the point where they are difficult to manage. And Westminster and Tallahassee Memory Care are two of the biggest people that do this. What they do is they send them to Appalachia, they bake wreck them. So the police come and apprehend your loved one that you put in their care. They put them into Appalachia Center with drug addicts and homeless people and people that are not in the same totally confused state as your husband. They kept my husband for 70 days. At that point, the assisted living says, you know, he's not really appropriate for our care. We're not taking him back.
Let's see if we can get some answers on that, Cindy. That is a story that I'm seeing some affirmation around the table here. That is not just a one-off. Apparently, that does happen. What do you think, Debbie?
Well, I think she's brought up some really good points and concerns, because there are behavior issues that do develop in some people who have Alzheimer's and dementia. Not all people, but just like any disease, you respond differently and your behaviors may change differently. And so I think part of what we are doing, even through the Dementia Care and Cure Initiative, is to really educate people and to look at what are those things that we need to address that are not working right now. Because it is difficult. If your loved one has a behavior problem and they become aggressive, the first response, if people are not trained, is to arrest them or put them in the psych center or find some other way to restrain them that is not appropriate. And so that person's going to continue to act out and to continue to get more aggressive, because the individual that has dementia is so frustrated that they can't make their needs known or explain what's going on. That's how they respond. And so I do think in our community we have to really look at what facilities could be trained and have the adequate staff to deal with people that have behavior problems. There are some medications that will help. There are things that you can look at, but it takes time, and it's trial and error, because everybody responds differently, even to medication. And so it does become very frustrating for the caregiver, and they want to throw up their hands and say, nobody's helping me, what can I do? So I think we have some work to do, but I think we're also making some inroads in that area. I personally have a friend whose husband has been aggressive, and, you know, she's working out a plan. We have a facility that he's going to go into, but it's taken some time for the doctors to get that medication right. So that he's able to do that.
Okay, and Dr. Sofra, it is so easy for people who do not have a dementia-type affliction to become frustrated and angry. People understand us when we're like that, but if you were dealing with someone, a patient who has these sorts of things, it can be a totally different circumstance, and people will respond differently to them.
You're absolutely right, and one of the things, as Debbie was saying, is that you have to make sure that there's that coordinated plan of action for how to deal with some of those things that happen with some of the individuals who are affected by dementia, Lewy body, or other types of Alzheimer's disease. And between the social services that are here and the Dementia Care and Cure Initiative, the activities of Commissioner Ziffer here, we're trying to build a lattice, a tapestry in this city so there aren't people who fall through the cracks. Yes, we have to try different types of medications to see what works with various individuals, and that is going to take time. There is the support for those individuals with various agencies like the Area Agency on Aging, as well as with some of the things that Richard's agency is doing and have offered. We have to make sure that there is a net, a safety net for those individuals as well, for the persons who are affected like Cindy is.
Okay, let's add Georgine into the conversation here. Hi, Georgine. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Yes, ma'am. Happy to have you.
Thank you. I wanted to share a brief experience with a friend of ours, Jim Dowis. We were visiting him and his wife in Peachtree City for the weekend. And Jim, we knew him as a brilliant man. He taught at universities. He lived with Tibetan monks. He was a political activist and had Alzheimer's, and we hadn't seen him in all this time. And so it was the morning we were leaving Sunday, and we got up, and I said, well, Jim, I said, how do you spend your days? And he looked at me, and he said, well, Georgine, he remembered my name, he said, I get up, and I get dressed, and the day just kind of takes care of itself. I would want to share his comment. For me, it was just heartening, and I know the sorrow and pain that... Well, I don't know it really because it hasn't hit me firsthand, but so many families have experienced. But this was a moment of joy that I spent with my friend with Alzheimer's.
Oh, that's a nice story, Georgine. Thank you for your kindness and understanding on that. Dr. Sofer.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned joy, because there's joy along with the challenges of taking care of someone with Alzheimer's. And it's not only what you do, it's what you, how you communicate with them. Some things don't have to be said, but touch or looking or nodding affirmatively, they respond to that. Music. There are other types of ways of engaging persons with dementia that beyond the spoken word. One of the things I had to say to relatives who would call, well, mom's not responding when I ask her questions. Well, don't ask questions. Engage in conversation. Tell her about your day. She still may laugh and she still may respond, but if you ask her what she had for breakfast, she may not be able to do that, and that sends her into a place where you don't want them to go. So there are other ways that you can do to communicate with people and keep them engaged and understand that there are joys associated with your loved one's care.
And that was part of Gil Ziffer. I remember one of our family members who was undergoing this, and we would sit down and we would just, we called it the old time talk, and we'd sit and, do you remember when you were a kid and this would happen or that would happen? And that always seemed to just touch a wonderful nerve somewhere.
Exactly.
And they didn't even have to respond, but the smiles and the body language said there was a connection being made there.
Several people have said it. There's just so many differences in how people how people's lives are affected by either being the person that has the Alzheimer's or dementia or those that don't. And as a result of that, everybody's experiences are a little bit different in how you communicate. My mother, who passed away about a year ago, she had her stock questions she would ask, and then she kept going back to that because she felt comfortable with it, and it was much easier for us just to talk about what was going on in our lives. And you could tell that she got joy in that, but it didn't put her on the spot of having to answer the questions that she couldn't answer. On the other hand, Sandy, he's still got it. I mean, he communicates very well. His issue is more a matter of just being caught in the middle of the sentence and losing the train of thought. So everybody's different. The key is, though, is to stay engaged and do whatever you can to try to get the person out of their environment. because all of us are like that. You know, none of us really want to retreat into a spot where it's just us by ourselves. So if you have somebody that you know, I encourage you. I think, Debbie, you referred to, was it your Alzheimer buddy?
Or, yes. Yeah. We would like to start an Alzheimer's buddy project where we would have somebody matched with a person with Alzheimer's that could go out and do things with them, take them out, go fishing, go golfing, whatever it is that the person liked to do, to continue to keep them engaged. And so eventually, that's my dream, is that we would have that type of a program within the Alzheimer's Project.
And that was the idea that she gave me, which is what I went into. And it's great. It's we both get a lot of pleasure out of it. And so I urge anybody out there, they can certainly call you, or if they have a family member, just make it a point, put it on your calendar, and this is something you do, and the person looks forward to it, and it's the right thing to do.
And that's another, Richard Pridham, great community resource there. When you, whether you're talking to someone like Chester Spellman over at Volunteer Florida or something, here is something else that maybe we can bring in volunteer resources to help out, which is kind of like a mentorship program, but I like what you said, Debbie. It's a buddy. Kind of situation.
It's a brain buddy.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly. And I think the secret to success is the community identifying what's necessary and what's relevant to them to achieve that success. And that's what we're doing here. It's also important to note is that the Memory Disorder Clinic in Leon County also impacts about 11 surrounding counties. So even though we're focused on Tallahassee and Leon County, we're looking to actually include the catchment area of those additional counties, especially the rural counties, where the stigma, I'll be honest with you, is probably more prevalent about people with dementia and Alzheimer's and dementia-related diseases. And that's what we want to actually, eliminate, is that stigma. Getting people to be able to go out, interact with other people in the community, and not feel that, the pressure of having that disease. And that's small steps, but we're getting there. And with the help of everybody here.
Yeah, not to mention the geographic challenges you would have in those rural areas, too.
Yes.
Everything's much more spread out, and how do you keep people who are suffering from these things engaged when they are way out in the farmhouse somewhere and you've got to go and fetch them and get them to wherever there may be some activities going on that will help to keep them engaged? We're talking about dementia, Alzheimer's, your experiences too. Reed, you hang on the line. You're next in line when we continue here on Perspectives. 414-1234, our local number, 800-926-8809, long distance, and perspectives@wfsu.org is the email. We'll continue. Welcome back to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. Our old friend, Mr. Mahoney, is checking in there on line three. Hey, Reed. Yeah, go ahead, Reed.
Well, I want to apologize if I sound like I'm slurring. I'm breaking in new teeth today, okay? So,
lucky man. I hope it's a good fit.
Wow.
Well, it's working so far. I just want to give a big shout-out to a group that I've been involved in for a long time, and that's the Tallahassee Parrothead Club.
We love them.
Yeah. I played music for them for a long time, and I got involved in the annual Parrothead Frenzies, which raises money for the Alzheimer's Project. And I was thinking about what Commissioner Ziffer said, and, it all comes down to funding. Everything these days comes down to funding. But the Parrotheads do a great job in that regard. And what was really fascinating is during the course of my year's involvement with them, and I'm still involved with them, my aunt in Kentucky, in rural Kentucky, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Her husband, who was an absolute glorious man, dedicated the rest of his life to taking care of her, and as so often is the case, that effort killed him while she was still living. They did not have access to a lot of the things that the Alzheimer's Project provides for our area, and so to Debbie and the whole gang, thank you.
Well, and to the Parrothead Club, too, Reed, thank you for what you guys do and for recognizing that this is such a critical need within the community and bringing your love and caring to bear on this situation. So thanks, man. Good luck with the new choppers there. Debbie, you mentioned something about that this is certainly not a one-size-fits-all response situation here, and that people need to be aware of that, that when you say Alzheimer's, it is not one thing. It is not even a continuum. It is, in its own way, a very unique situation.
It is a unique situation, and there's different phases that people go through as they as the disease progresses. And it's really important that we are person-centered and that we are meeting the needs of that individual person, because, as we have said previously, that the disease people respond differently to the disease. We need to make sure that we have the right service at the right time. So while we do have services that we offer, they're not necessarily, in terms of the respite, something that everybody can take advantage of, because they have to be able to be somewhat mobile. And we do run with a couple staff and volunteers. We couldn't do what we do and offer the respite program that we offer without the volunteers. But there, you know, it's for a certain time and certain place in that disease that we are appropriate. Just like an assisted living facility or a nursing home would be more appropriate at different phases. So you have to really look at what is the right service at the right time. And we have to remember, and we've talked about this in different various ways, and we're breaking down the stigma, but life's not over. And so we want the folks that are living with the disease to have the most quality of life that they can possibly have, that there is joy on both sides, both for the caregiver and the person living with disease, and that we can maximize what life looks like for somebody and their family.
If I could, because it's just the opportunity to do this. First of all, because I don't know if enough people do this, but Tom, every single show I listen to you where you are the host, you are so informed and you ask such good questions. And I just want to thank you for everything you do in this community, because programs like this without a good host wouldn't be where they are. So thank you. Debbie, funding. Because you and I talk about this a lot.
We do talk about it a lot.
Because it's a growing – and I just – it's kind of like I'll throw it out there, because I know you have one – Hopewell, for example, what they do is they give you a certain amount every month. And it's a challenge for you for fundraising. And so if anybody else out there would like to do the same, or United Way, for example, they loan executives to organizations, because Alzheimer's Project is so unique – to not only our state but anywhere, and they do such a great job, and I don't think many people really truly understand what a resource you are, and so we need to do whatever we can to fund you. I know that, and Richard, I want to thank you, because what you're doing for the state trying to roll this out is vitally important. So I wanted to, and Dr. Sofer, as a caregiver, I just have the greatest respect for you.
You know what? I really enjoy being here today, because it's affirming some of the things that each one of us as caregivers go through. And what I hear the community doing, or see this community doing, is building up that network and making sure that as a caregiver, I don't have to be as protective as my loved one as I would have had to be if there wasn't these types of services and type of concern from people like the commissioner, like Bill Mumford, to be supportive of getting additional dollars for something that Debbie is doing, and for the governor, who's added $3 million into the request for this. That's what we need. It has to be not just one person trying to do it for their loved one. It has to be a community, and I think that it's really exciting to have that here right here in Tallahassee and Leon County, to be able to bring that to bear and be an example for the rest of the state and indeed the country. If that's what this is all about, to make sure that people don't have to stay hidden away like they did with diseases in the 1940s. You never took your loved one anywhere, but now we can take people somewhere depending on where they are in their journey. And we as caregivers have to know where someone is and what type of resources are needed or care is needed depending on where they are. But this is a wonderful start that is not being replicated in other parts of the country just yet.
But the folks who are listening right now to the program, they can also get involved, even if they do not have a personal connection to anyone who is a dementia patient or any of these other situations, because we have a larger issue to bear here. And I think Mr. Mahoney pointed that out just a moment ago, as did all of you in the follow-up to his comments, which is when it comes to the community resources, which includes funding that we can put in place
Absolutely.
To deal with these things, Richard Prudhomme, you said it. More than 500,000 people in Florida are now dementia patients of some kind. And this number, barring any kind of incredible medical breakthrough, is only going to continue to increase as our population gets older. This has to inform some of the discussions we have when it comes to the overarching thing of healthcare, regardless of who comes out with a replacement for Obamacare or anything else, that not all of our situations are brought on ourselves. We need to, as a community, be more aware of the big picture when it comes to these issues and put in place the funding and the other resources that are necessary to respond. So people like Dr. Sofer and you, Gil, and everyone else doesn't have to be out there disconnected and dealing with these situations in isolation.
Well, and Debbie said it. You know, if you were diagnosed with heart disease, you wouldn't just go lock yourself in your room. You'd make accommodations in your life, but you still try to live your life as best as you could. If you broke a leg, you would make adjustments, but you would try to live as much life as you could. What we can't have is what's been the case in the past is folks with dementia or Alzheimer's they get that diagnosis, and the second they leave that doctor's office, wherever they are, their life has to change dramatically. Well, it doesn't. It's just they have to recognize that there are some limitations, but then they work within those limitations. But that doesn't mean staying at home or going to a facility right away. And that's where Debbie comes in and Dr. Sofer's knowledge and what the state's trying to do. We're trying to get ahead of this, but boy, it's like I used the term at the beginning, it is a tsunami coming.
And so, Richard, how do you see the entire initiative playing out here? We have a poster case in the situation of Tallahassee in the capital region here. How do you see this kind of shotgunning through the rest of the state?
Well, I think as we got into this, we realized that the best way to achieve success was by centering the each initiative around their respective memory disorder clinic in the area of the state. So obviously the one here we have at Tallahassee Memorial Hospital is one of the good ones. And then we intend next to go to Sarasota and to Pensacola. But, what we also recognize is we don't have to wait to announce, the next site. A lot of these communities, we're all able to share best practices with what we're doing here already with them, so that when we do announce, they're already ahead of the game. And like I said earlier on, a lot of them are doing a good work already. Each community is different and in different stages of excellence and resource availability. And I think that's something that we're sort of doing already, is making all memory disorder clinics aware of this initiative and getting them to initiate action before we come down and announce the initiative. And I think we also shouldn't forget about the Dementia Care and Cure Initiative. We're looking at the cure aspect as well. And the memory disorder clinics are very helpful with that, looking at them with working with the research side of things, the medical side of things. Department of Health, our sister agency, they're looking at sort of funding as well for that, the research into the cure. And our other sister agencies, agency for persons with disabilities and Department of Children and Families as well. So this is something that we're looking for a statewide level. It's not just the care, it's the cure. But I think this is something that we initially got into. We thought, oh my God, how are we going to do this by each community? And we recognize each memory disorder clinic, that's the way to do it. And then we can do a lot of seed work now before we actually sort of announce the next community.
A few minutes remaining in this morning's Perspectives program on WFSU-FM. Want to do a quick round robin table hop, if we can, on one little question. And let's start with you, Commissioner Ziffer.
Oh boy.
Okay. I, or a loved one, was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Now what?
I'd call Debbie at the Alzheimer's Project. That'd be the first place I'd call, because I think from a resource standpoint, she can lead you in the right direction to all the different opportunities that are available to you. And that's a good place to start, because as the caregiver, it's unfortunate, but in a lot of cases, and Debbie may be able to expand on this, but in a lot of cases, the caregiver passes before the one with the dementia or Alzheimer's because of the stress and the pressure and the total responsibility in many ways are put on their shoulders. Alzheimer's Project can't eliminate that, but they can certainly help. So I'd call Debbie first.
Okay. Yeah, so we got to make sure we get your number. And, of course, there is a website for the Alzheimer's Project.
It's alzheimersproject.org. www.alzheimersproject.org. We have a website and our resource manual that talks about all the services and the assisted living facilities from nursing homes to everything is in that manual. And our phone number is 386-2778. That's 850-386-2778. So we would love to be the first call. We want to make sure that families know what resources are available, that get the education, learn more about the disease, know what decisions they're going to need to make early on for later so that those things are all taken care of, because we have to, you know, at some point talk about the end-of-life decisions, and the person living with dementia needs to have a role, a voice in that, and that's a whole other program. And we want to make sure that they are, if they have an early diagnosis, that they're getting the treatment that they need. If there's medication that's available, that's made available to them. And one of the things that I didn't talk about is we do one-on-one counseling with the caregiver. If the support group's not the kind of assistance that she wants, we will do one-on-one counseling, and we even go to the home to do that. So it's not that you have to come to us. We will go to you.
Okay, with all these calls coming in then, Dr. Regina Stouffer, Debbie's line is jammed up here and she can't take any more calls. Any other ideas? If you got the diagnosis or a loved one got it?
I would say don't give up. Don't give up hope. Don't give up the expectation for life and an abundant life and a full life. Do some of the things that you've heard around the table. Maximize the time that you have with your loved one, depending on where they are in their journey. Just maximize that time and take care of yourself. A clean house is not all that when you come down to what to do and how to spend your time. That's what I would say, and I absolutely agree that Debbie is a wonderful, the Alzheimer's Project is a wonderful entree because of the tentacles they have to all kinds of other resources. I would go there.
You've just been called an octopus. I hope you realize that.
Also, Tom, I think it's a good thing is to call the Area Agency on Aging.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
That is a good resource, not only for this issue, but also issues that affect seniors in general. And I don't have that number with me, but we can get that to you.
No, I see. I think I got Richard Baldino's home number. I'll put that out on the website so we can bug him at the house. But that is another phenomenal resource. And we are seeing it now with this rapid aging of not only our statewide, but also our local population. Well, Gil, you know, Ron Sachs and those folks bringing in more retirees and all, we are probably going to see increased instances of this within our community.
We have, I think it's 9 or 10. Assisted living facilities that are either under construction
that's
or
right.
going through permitting that are going to double
that's right.
what we already have. And that's just happening in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Like I said, it is coming. North Florida is becoming a place where a lot of people want to move in Florida mm-hmm. instead of some of the issues in the rest of our state. This is the place.
We're seeing about 1,000 people coming into Florida every day, and over half of them are over 60.
And one more thing. If you really want to help, Alzheimer's Project. They have a benefit coming up called Purple Craze, which is, what's the date, Debbie?
April 22nd at the Moon.
Wear your purple, and it's a great way to help out Alzheimer's Project.
Yeah, I know. In fact, I got to return Mr. Wheeler's call to that. He is another great advocate when it comes to the Alzheimer's response, and he always gets, let's see, who's in the band?
It's the Blues Factor Band.
Ah, okay.
So
it's always fun.
They're one of the best in the Southeast in their hometown band. So it's going to be a great time. WCTV, Asher's going to be there from WCTV, and he's going to have his purple on. So come out and join us.
Be poikal.
And I just want to say a big thank you to our community. We are very blessed. We have a lot of response. Obviously, the people around this table are big supporters. But also, we couldn't do what we do without our community.
And thanks also to the folks who contributed to the call-in today. And don't be afraid to share your stories with other folks, because you never can tell when something that you have discovered that is of great usefulness to you in your situation may help somebody else as well. So that's something else. We keep those lines of communication open. Just a few moments remaining to go. A quick 30 seconds from everybody. Richard.
Well, I just want to actually sort of shift gears and talk about Florida Senior Day, which we're going to have at the state capitol on March 29th. Obviously, we're going to have a town hall panel. Myself and Commissioner Ziffer will be on that panel, and we'll be discussing many issues important to seniors, including Alzheimer's. So we encourage everybody to come to that great day. It's free food from Nukes, and it's a great day of entertainment, but also sort of and discussions on issues that affect us and seniors in general. So March 29th.
Okay, is that going to be Capitol Courtyard?
Capitol Courtyard, yes.
Okay, all righty. Yes. That is coming up. And Dr. Regina.
Yes, sir.
And just final thoughts here before we pack it in today.
I would say that I would invite everybody to flood Tallahassee and Leon County. No, I would say that this can happen in your community, so pay attention. And absolutely, like Debbie said, we depend on people who volunteer their times for the buddy activities and other things to make what's happening in Tallahassee and Leon County a reality.
Okay, and Commissioner Ziffer, when's your next date with your good pal, Mr. Halpern?
I think Sandy's next week. And I would be wrong if I didn't also thank Halsey Bashir as our representative. He's leading the funding charge from the House of Representatives, so hopefully that's going to work well for Debbie.
Thank you, folks, for coming and talking about this issue today. There is plenty of hope and there is plenty of joy, as you said, Dr. Regina, when it comes to this issue here. Our thanks to Gil Ziffer, also Debbie Maroney, Dr. Regina Sofer, and Richard Prudham here on Perspectives this morning. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Mr. Rossi. Evan pushing the buttons here today. And we have Taylor Cox, who was helping out with the phone machine. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, Leon County facing a serious and surprising lack of a crucial element, volunteers, for everything from the county's volunteer fire companies to the various citizen boards that help formulate important public policy decisions. We'll talk about it next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.